A bit of Chopin on the New Classical FM. That was the Etude in A flat, Opus 25, number 1, played by Jan Liszewski. This is Sunday Night at the TSO. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. Well, Canadian piano phenom Jan Liszewski is always very busy with concert dates all over the world. But he has returned to the city where he studied this week and is getting ready for a massive undertaking as he performs not one, not two, not even three, but all five of Beethoven's piano concerti with the TSO in one sitting. Two chances to catch what is essentially an historic set of performances with Liszewski himself conducting. And here to talk about it is the man himself. Jan Liszewski, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
It's great to see you. Last time we were on Zoom back in 2022 talking Prokofiev. very nice to have you here in person. Now, we do know you a little bit, but I have some get-to-know-you-better questions. Mm. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Who's your favorite composer right now?
I try to have a favorite composer that I'm working on at the moment. So I would say Beethoven. This month has been all about Beethoven, and actually that's what I'm coming to Toronto with next, so Beethoven.
Okay, we'll talk more about him in a moment. Dream vacation destination, and why?
The one that I haven't been to yet. I always like to visit a new country, see something that expands my horizons. So I don't have one that's right now at the top of my list, but there's still a lot of countries I haven't been to, so...
If you could master any other instrument than the piano, what would it be?
It's a tricky question because you can pretty much do anything you want on the piano. And especially by the time I've put in my 10,000 hours and I can do whatever I'd like on the piano. But it would be nice to play a more casual instrument, such as the guitar, so you could just pick it up and bring some music to people. But yeah, piano's good enough.
Do you have a favorite movie?
I think if I had to name one, then it probably would still be Amelie. It's just such a magical film that always makes me cry and gives me joy at the same time. And I love the music, too. So.
Yes, fantastic. What's your favorite part of Toronto and why?
I find myself very much in Yorkville because the Royal Conservatory is there. And that's where I went, of course, to university. I still spend quite a lot of time there when I am in Toronto because I go practice. Yeah, of course, it's the fancy neighborhood, very upscale. But to me, also, it has all my sort of my student days memories still from there. So I like being there.
Nice. You are one of the TSO Spotlight artists this year. And this is a nice feather to add to your long relationship with the TSO. Dates back to 2012. What does it mean to you to be a TSO Spotlight artist?
It's a wonderful way to create some projects that might not normally be part of the season. And I think that's the best way to look at it. Of course, it's also an honor to be here and to play so much for the Toronto audiences and to further that connection. But most importantly, the projects that I'm able to do this year, such as the Beethoven Triple that we did in September to open the season with Jonathan Crowe and Joseph Johnson, members of the orchestra, wonderful piece that isn't played so often. And what's upcoming now, the full Beethoven cycle, so the five Beethoven concertos, to do that in a matter of a few days is something special, and I'm very, very glad that I'm able to do so.
Over the past, 12, 13 years, I guess, with the TSO, how have you seen the orchestra's stature on the world stage grow?
I have been witness to it because we went on a long-awaited European tour together. It was wonderful to see how warmly received the TSO was, how excited audiences were to have them back in Europe. And I think it's great to see also from my colleagues around the world that are excited to come to the TSO, be it conductors or soloists. They speak of the TSO in the highest terms. They like being in Toronto. They like working with the orchestra. And that isn't always the case. Internally, of course, we can discuss about other orchestras that might not be so exciting, might not be so enticing. So it's a very positive atmosphere. And musically, of course, people also expect really, really good things and high standards from the TSO, and that's the way it should be.
Beethoven, let's talk about this huge project that you have coming up and where you're going to be performing all five of the concertos. You're going to be leading them. But I want to first hear a bit about your beginnings with this, very core repertoire. At what stage did you first start to tackle these pieces?
I must have been quite young, must have been around that 2012 or maybe even earlier that you already mentioned. I started with the third concerto, and then I must have played the fourth next and the fifth after that. And the first and second were the sort of the newest additions to my repertoire, but that would still be definitely a few years ago. Six, seven, eight, I'm not sure how many. So they have been with me. And most importantly, also this cycle has been with me for quite a few years. It's one thing to play the concertos individually, to play the third or the fourth or the fifth, which are all wonderful pieces, and have them as part of an evening's program. But it's entirely different to play them together, to work on them at the same time, to live them together, and of course also present them to the audience at the same time, because you experience Beethoven's world, his entire world, from the beginning to the end, how he also developed the piano concerto, which is an incredible thing because we bear witness to it through this music. We start with the second, which is the first that he wrote, and has almost Mozartian style, but already has this creativity and new ideas. You can tell it's Beethoven in essence. Then we have the first concerto, which is radical. Already, the first movement, Cadenza in particular, that Beethoven writes, I always get asked, whose cadenza is that? And I say, it's Beethoven. They say, no, it's not possible. It's so modern. It's so, yes, it's Beethoven's original cadenza. It's long, it's virtuosic, it's crazy, it's fun. It has so many concepts. Of course, the third, fourth, fifth, we all know, but to experience them in context of this and to see how he was groundbreaking in the fourth concerto, that beginning, the piano solo beginning, those chords, that magical G major. The fifth, really the crowning element on this. So we experience all of Beethoven through the cycle, and I love, absolutely love presenting it to an audience.
You are conducting, so you have no middleman or woman involved in these performances with the TSO, and it's something you have been doing for a while, so it's not the first time you're doing this, but I'm wondering a few things. I imagine that it's really fulfilling just to have that direct contact with the orchestra.
It is fulfilling. It's also a tremendous responsibility, and one that I don't take lightly, and one that I hope that I can deliver to the level that I would like to. So it is, of course, the direct contact. But that also means that you are the person who is responsible for everything, not only the piano part. And you don't want either to suffer. So you don't want the playing to suffer, nor the orchestral leading to suffer. So with these concertos, luckily, the music, firstly, is very well known to the musicians. So that helps tremendously because I am not teaching them about it. They know what to do and how to play it. They have a lot of experience in it. And I can then shape it to fit with my vision of the interpretation. It is a fun experience. It is a different experience. I think it creates an environment of a collaboration and forces the musicians to listen very, very much more because they have to be involved in what I'm doing as a piano part and cannot rely upon a baton, upon somebody's indications. They must be part of the entire feeling. But when that does happen, I think the result is magical because it is a large orchestra living and breathing as one, which doesn't always happen in concertos where you have myself, the conductor, and everybody else doing their thing, and it can be wonderful, it can be perfect, but it doesn't have that natural feeling to it. So here, there are some imperfections to be expected, but imperfections are part of art, and I think we can bring the music to life. It has an incredible lively feeling when you do it in that direct way with that contact.
There's that behind-the-scene challenge that most people wouldn't be aware of, but the responsibility and challenge of running a rehearsal.
That actually I don't find so difficult.
Okay.
Because I also have a lot of experience with rehearsing in terms of doing it myself, but also working with orchestras and knowing what to work on, what not to work on. And I think I shouldn't be saying this before it's done, but I don't expect any problems in that department.
Well, I'm wondering, actually, because, you know, you are the one who gets to, without any, as they say, middle person, convey all of your ideas. Are there any particular, you know, moments in any of the concertos that you think, this is what I want to do. Nobody's done it this way before.
Oh, for sure. There's definitely some things that are that way. In particular, I think that there's often a lot of tradition that gets put upon these masterpieces because they've been played so much and so often that it's not about creating something new. in fact, is about peeling back the layers a little bit and going back to the foundation, to the core, to what was originally in the score. It sounds so simple, but it isn't, because sometimes the traditions are there for good reason. That reason often ends up being convenience, because it makes it easier to do something in a certain way. So peeling those layers back and trying to come back to that clean slate is particularly rewarding. And it's not reinventing the wheel, but it is respecting the composer's intentions and going back to a more basic vision of the work.
Comparing the works to broader piano concerto repertoire, and in general, the character of these pieces, is there something that stands out to you? I mean, Beethoven, it's so broad, and his contribution is kind of immeasurable, but what would you say to that question?
What is wonderful is that they don't have one particular character. Each of these works has a different vision and a different perspective. There isn't any recycled material. For instance, we were to do a cycle of Mozart concerti, I think one would find that there would be a lot of repetition in concepts, because Mozart stayed very much to the same forms. He was a genius, without a doubt, and his compositions are remarkable, but you wouldn't want to listen to them all in one sitting. While here, Beethoven really creates something new. There isn't any recycled material. There is no moment that you think, oh, that happened somewhere else already. It's all fresh. It's all completely different. It's interesting also to observe how he treats the orchestra. What makes Beethoven's writing different from all the other concerto repertoire is how important the orchestral part is in what ends up happening. It isn't just a counterpart. It is part of what the piano is doing. And for that reason, also doing it without a conductor is much, well, I wouldn't say it's easier, but it definitely adds a different layer, because we are working together to create that, as opposed to the pianist, then the orchestra, then the pianist, then the orchestra, and which is the case in many, many concertos, not only Mozart's, but many concertos by other composers as well.
So there's a more of an integrated relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's a thought experiment that you can take up or not, but if you were going to apply a personality or character, if each concerto was a person, who would they be? Or what type of person?
Well, I think you can sort of tell the youth in the first two concertos. There is that element of being carefree and optimism, this sort of joy of life. And then the third, I would say, is the most outwardly dark, in C minor, with this color that is angry. The fourth is more resigned. It's more intimate and has a lot of inner emotions that are put out for display. There is still anger, most definitely, especially in the second movement. And then a little bit of lightheartedness comes back in the third. And the fifth is grandiose. I used to be not a particular fan of the fifth because it's so direct. And then after having played a few cycles and experienced the whole journey that Beethoven took, I've really embraced that feeling of being able to accept that, yes, this is what I'm doing. Yes, it's grandiose. Yes, this is me. Yes, there's this big gesture. It somehow feels the most confident. Not that the others are somehow not, but this one has that assuredness to it. That is wonderful. And of course, I think therefore comes the nickname, the Emperor, because it just has that sort of feeling that you're above it all. And when you're playing it, in a sense, you are.
Amazing. Later on in the month, you will be back at the end of February to play Chopin, the Piano Concerto No. 1, also the second that he wrote, right?
Yes.
Yes, another one of those confusing things, just like Beethoven. But tell us a bit about your personal history with this work.
It's one of the works that I've certainly played the most all around the world, that I've probably played in the most countries, though I don't keep statistics, but I would expect that this would be the work that I've played in almost every country that I've ever been to play. As a result, I've had incredible experiences with it. But it's also a work that I have a very personal vision on that requires such from the pianist and is very, very different from the Beethoven, and that it is essentially a piano sonata with orchestral accompaniment. So you have incredible writing in the piano part. You have everything that one could imagine. And additional colors from all the wonderful musicians in the orchestra, all those instruments that give a different timbre to what is going on, do things that I'm not able to do on the piano. And that's the way I see this piece. You'll find a lot of musicians that will disregard Chopin's orchestral writing as being subpar. And without a doubt, it isn't to the level of Beethoven's, for example. We're not on the same playing field. But the way I see it is it's an incredible piece for the piano. It can't be played without the orchestra. And I need that orchestra for the colors. So if you embrace that, then you can have a wonderful time. It is not particularly challenging, I think, actually, to put together, despite what people might think. It's about respecting the structure, playing it naturally. And when it is done so, it falls very quickly into the hands of all the musicians of the orchestra, despite the fact that they don't play any Chopin repertoire. Chopin wrote almost exclusively for the piano, with exceptions of a cello sonata and a few songs. And a trio that he wrote when he was very young. So we are talking about a very specialized composer that then wrote a few pieces for piano and orchestra. And the musicians don't have the experience, as they do with Beethoven, for example, where they have the symphonies. They don't just have the piano concerto, they have the symphonies. They have the violin concerto. Mozart, of course, same thing. They have the operas. They have so much more than just the writing for piano and orchestra. And they also have their own solo pieces. In this case, they don't. They don't know the language. But it does come very naturally. And I enjoy playing it with orchestras, and I enjoy sharing this music with an audience tremendously.
Speaking of languages, I'm wondering, maybe this is a cliche kind of a question, but does your Polish heritage play into your relationship with Chopin's music or this concerto in particular?
It's difficult to say. I mean, I struggle to agree with the idea that DNA or history has a role in how you interpret. Now, your personal experiences certainly do. So if my personal experience is that I grew up speaking Polish and that I've visited Poland a lot and I know a little bit about the country, about the people there, most importantly, and of course also about the history, about the landscapes, what Chopin might have been inspired by, also about France, which of course was where Chopin spent the vast majority of his adult life, longing for Poland, one should add. That certainly shapes the way you play. But do I play Chopin in a Polish way? Probably not. If one would say the Polish tradition, Polish style of playing Chopin, then I am very far away from that. It is my own way of hearing and listening and performing his music that I have simply learned by looking at the score, which is the wonderful thing that I like. Also, going back to the same thing that I said about Beethoven, is just going back to the basics. You look at what Chopin wrote, and then you interpret it in your own way. There isn't a right or wrong interpretation, without a doubt. But it is nice to base your ideas not off of some sort of tradition or some style of performance, but what was in the actual ideas of the composer that he left for us. And the only history we have, thankfully, is on a piece of paper.
And such a long relationship you have with that. It's going to be such a treat for us in Toronto to hear you perform that concerto once again. And the Beethoven, it feels like, I don't know, I get this image like you got to do like lots of workouts or something to get ready to get to do that cycle.
You really live and breathe the music all day long. So it'll be very, very well rehearsed for Toronto Symphony.
Well, Jan Leszczycki, spotlight artist with the TSO and piano virtuoso extraordinaire, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
That was piano virtuoso Jan Leszczycki. He leads the TSO in his performances of all 5 Beethoven piano concertos this week, with chances to take it in on Wednesday and Thursday at Roy Thompson Hall. A rare opportunity to hear the full trajectory of this bedrock of the piano repertoire played by one of the best. For tickets, go to tso.ca. Let's get a taste of just how good this is going to be. Here is Jan Leszczycki with the finale from the Piano Concerto No. 2.